Gospel of Matthew,
chapter 7.
It's a very famous passage of scripture, and I want to read it to you again. Verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye, you hypocrite? First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Will you bow with me in prayer? Our Father, as we turn to your word and prepare ourselves for coming to your table, we pray that the Holy Spirit will be here. We ask that we may hear the voice of God speaking to us. And we pray that we may know his presence. Many of us have come to church this morning with hungry hearts. Some have come with guilty hearts. And others have come with obstinate hearts. But whatever our spiritual condition is this morning, we pray for a face-to-face confrontation with God. We ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you were here last Sunday morning, you might just remember that I only covered two points. The first was what Jesus did not forbid in the opening verses of Matthew chapter 7. He says, do not judge or you too will be judged. Now, when you weigh that up with other scriptures, then you will see that the Lord Jesus Christ was not forbidding us making judgments at all. He doesn't do that. Because the scripture tells us all the time to exercise our minds, to discern, to form evaluations and opinions. And we've got to know what is truth, we've got to know what is error. So the Lord Jesus was not telling us that we're not allowed to make judgments at all. And then in the second place, I mentioned to you what I believe the Lord Jesus was forbidding. And he was forbidding this awful, harsh, fault-finding, negative spirit of censoriousness that sometimes enters into our hearts when we are out of touch with him, when we have a complete judgmental attitude to others and take no regard at all for their feelings or for their weaknesses. Now, this spirit of censoriousness has got no room at all in the life of a person who's got the new nature. Have you got the new nature? Now, if you've got the new nature, then you cannot have a spirit of censoriousness in your heart without it affecting your relationship with God. And it may well be that some of you who were here last Sunday were able to see that you are having a struggle in your spiritual life because you're allowing sin into your life. And that sin was not perhaps gross immoral sin, but just this critical spirit of censoriousness that cuts you off from others and cuts you off from God. Now, this morning what I want to do is give you three reasons why the Lord Jesus Christ forbids us judging others with a spirit of censoriousness. That's what I want to do this morning. I want to give you the three reasons indicated to us here why we are forbidden to have the spirit of censoriousness and why we are told not to be judgmental. And the first reason is this. Because we Christians have to face a day of judgment. And that is what I want to major on this morning. The Christian's day of judgment. A day of judgment for believers. Now, some of you have been coming along to our Wednesday night Bible studies. And over the weeks, many of you have said to me, why is it that you tell us that we are completely justified by faith and all our sins are forgiven, the sins of the past and the sins of the future, and they're all covered by the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ and we're right out of the realm of condemnation and we'll never move into it again, then at other times you talk about facing a judgment. And there has been, I suppose, for many of you, a great deal of confusion about this thing. Because on the one hand, when we preach the gospel, we tell you that one of the benefits of the gospel is that we no longer have to face the day of judgment with trepidation and fear. On the other hand, we urge you and exhort you to live your lives in such a way, remembering the day of judgment. So why does it appear that we contradict ourselves, and what is the truth about the day of judgment for Christians? That is what I want to present to you today. And I trust that as God speaks to your heart, you will do some examining, and so you will prepare your heart for coming to the Lord's table this morning for communion. Now, let me remind you that in the scriptures, there are three main judgments mentioned. and I want to tell you what they are today. There are three main judgments mentioned in the scripture. The first is, of course, the judgment when the sheep and the goats are separated one from another. Now that's the portion that Ernest read to us today. That is just one parable illustrating a great truth that is scattered throughout the scriptures, that there is going to be a day when God is going to separate those who belong to him from those who do not belong to him. He's going to separate the wheat from the weeds. He's going to separate the bad fish from the good fish. Some other parables in the Gospels. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. There are people who belong to God, and there are people who do not belong to God. That is always the great demarcation line. That is the one separation line that God recognizes throughout the world. Those who belong to him, and those who do not belong to him. Now, most of you who are here on this wet Sunday morning belong to him. But I know that there are very often people who come to our morning service who do not belong to him. And perhaps you have come in this morning, and you are sitting in church on this very gloomy Sunday morning, and God is suddenly finding you out. You don't belong to him. Even though you may have taken the trouble to come and fight your way through this rainstorm. And here you are sitting in church this morning, and all the time you don't belong to him. And all the effort that you spend in coming to worship, and all the effort that you spend in getting the kids ready for Sunday school, it's all very fine in its place. But really, in the final analysis, it doesn't matter because you don't belong to him. And on the great day of judgment, you'll be found to be one of the devil's goats, not one of the Lord's sheep. That's the one part of the judgment that all of us need to bear in mind. There is this judgment when God is going to separate north, south, east, and west. They'll come, the nations of the world, and they'll stand before him, and he will separate the sheep from the goats. Those who have experienced his grace, those who have been forgiven, those who have been washed in the blood, those who are regenerate, they will be separated from the rest. And I wonder if that applies to you. Here you are today and you're sitting in church. And some of you are the Lord's sheep. And maybe some of you here today are the devil's goats. And on that great day of judgment, you'll be found out. Well, that's the one judgment. But then there's another judgment that the scripture talks about that I want to remind you of. And this applies peculiarly to Christians. And this is the judgment of chastisement. The judgment of chastisement. Now let's do a little bit of work this morning. So will you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And is rather fitting because it's got to do with the communion service. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The scripture teaches that it is true that God sometimes judges his people here on earth. There is a judgment that takes place here on earth. And God judges his people very often here in time and not only in eternity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, have a look at verse 27. And this is the Apostle Paul, and he's giving instruction about behavior and how it relates to the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper. And this is what he says. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Doesn't that send a chill through your spine? When you think of the many times, and I think of the many times that I've come to the Lord's table, and I've come in an unworthy manner. Have you come perhaps, as I've come in the past, from a week when I've been censorious, when I've been judgmental or unkind, or perhaps you've come to the Lord's table straight from an argument at the breakfast table, when you've said the most awful things to your wife or your husband or your children, and the Spirit of Christ was not to be seen in you at all, and you'll come along to the Lord's table. Now listen. Whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. Now that is why we're preaching the word to you before you come to the Lord's table. So that the word of God can be used as a tool so that you can examine yourself to see whether or not you're in alignment with his will. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. If there's no recognition of what the Lord Jesus came to do, and you don't understand how serious and how sacred this particular act is, then you are in trouble. You're eating and drinking judgment on yourself. That is why many among you are weak and sick. Now there's the judgment of God. Now very often when we treat the Lord Jesus Christ with no respect at all, and we treat his table with no respect, and we live unworthy lives, God allows sickness to come upon us. Now, this is a direct argument in the face of all of those who say we shouldn't be sick. God sometimes does allow sickness to come upon us. And a number of you have fallen asleep. Now, listen to this. Some Christians have died. Why have they died? Some people have died because it is a judgment of God upon them for the way they were living and for the unworthy way in which they were expressing their Christian faith. If we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. If we constantly kept ourselves under control, then God would not need to bring this judgment of chastisement upon us. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. Now I want you to remember something, dear friends. When God deals with his people, it is always to make you holy, and it is always so that you will be safe for eternity. God is determined that not one who belongs to him will ever be lost. And he is determined that you will no longer be condemned with the world. And if some rebellion enters your heart, and you do not cooperate with the Holy Spirit in becoming holy, and you do not live a life worthy of him, then the scripture teaches that God will sometimes bring a judgment of chastisement upon you. He will allow sickness to come upon you, perhaps, or weakness of some sort, or affliction of some sort, perhaps even death, and rather take you to heaven to be with himself than that you should be condemned with the world. Now will you turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. That's the other famous passage concerning chastisement. Hebrews chapter 12. And many, of course, will know these passages off by heart, but here they are. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, if you're feeling a little bit disturbed and you're feeling a little bit down and you're feeling that God has deserted you and that he's nowhere around and everything is going wrong, then listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. This is what it says in verse 5. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he hates. Does it say that? No, it doesn't. He disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone that he rejects who is unworthy of becoming his son. Does it say that? No, he punishes everyone that he accepts as a son. Now, if you belong to him and you step out of his will, then you can expect your heavenly Father, out of love and concern for your eternal welfare, to use the rod. Endure hardship as a discipline. God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father? And so the apostle goes on and points out to us that if we live our lives without the discipline of God, and we never experience God's hand correcting us and guiding us and keeping us on the right path, that is an evidence. That is an evidence that we are not his son, his daughter, after all. And so there is the judgment that takes place when the sheep and the goats are separated. Have you got that? Then the second thing is that there is a judgment of discipline that takes place here in this world of time, when we step out of God's will, when God brings certain things upon us, so that we will be turned again to the right way and seek him and serve him. Sometimes God just withholds his protection from us, and it results in sickness and even in death. Now, you see, my friends, this is a warning to you, and it's a warning to me today. What does it tell us? It tells us that we cannot treat life lightly. You cannot treat life flippantly. You can't just sort of sing your way through life as if there are no important issues to think about at all. I do not believe that we should go through life obviously gloomy and burdened, but I do believe that we should remember that there are some very serious issues in this life that God has given us that we need to consider. We are all creatures heading for eternity, and God is dealing with us, and we are dealing with God, and we have to stand before him on that great day, and we cannot treat life lightly. There are some people, I'm afraid, who take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ upon them, and yet you never see any seriousness in them at all. No serious awareness of the holiness to which they've been called. No serious awareness of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on the cross. Everything is mentioned in a kind of a flippant way, and there's no real grasp or understanding of the greatness of the atonement and the greatness of the substitutionary death of our Lord Jesus. No serious understanding of what it means to be justified by faith. No real understanding of that. And they scratch around and grope around and look around in all kinds of various ways for new assurances from God for this and that and the next thing. And no real understanding of what it means to walk humbly and to walk softly before God. He's a great God. He's a consuming fire. And he will not let sin go in the life of his children, just as he won't let it go in the life of those who are not his children. Sin is sin. And the fact that a Christian commits sin doesn't make it less serious in the eyes of Almighty God. So there are the two judgments. Now the third judgment is the judgment of rewards. The judgment of rewards. Now this is the one that I think concerns many people, and they don't seem to understand it. So let's have a look to see if we can say something about it this morning. Let me say first of all that there is a judgment for God's people after death. That is what the scriptures teach. There is a judgment for God's people after death. And we are not to forget that, and we should not confuse that with anything else. You see, even though we have been forgiven, we are still living under the government of God. And because we are living under his rule, and because we are living under his government, his reign, we have to give an account. There is a judgment for Christians after death. But it is not a judgment deciding whether we will go to heaven or hell. The Lord Jesus bore that judgment for us. He was judged on that score for us. And so the judgment that we Christians have to face after death is not the same judgment as those who are not Christians have to face. That judgment is a frightening judgment. That is the judgment that separates the sheep from the goats. It is a terribly serious and a very solemn occasion. And that is not the judgment that we have to endure as Christians. We do not stand before God and have a decision made as to whether we go to heaven or hell. The judgment for Christians is not to determine our destiny. It is not an eternal judgment in the sense of us losing our souls. Once you have come to Christ and you've experienced regeneration and the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and you've been born again, there is no more any fear of judgment in that sense or being lost again. You cannot be lost again after you have been saved. You cannot be not born again after you've been born again any more than a little baby can be unborn after it's been born. Once you have been born, you have been born. Once the work of grace has taken place in your heart, it is a work that is divine. It will never be eradicated. And God, the great God of heaven and earth, will see that it is completed right to the end. Now sometimes our walk with God and our enjoyment of God is affected by the way we behave and by our lack of obedience to him. But when God has once by sovereign grace planted grace into your heart, that grace can never again be eradicated. So no Christian need ever fear the judgment day in the sense that an unbeliever is going to fear the judgment day. Because our destiny has been settled. It was settled 2,000 years ago on the cross. It was settled even before then, way back in eternity, when God set his love upon us, even when the world was not created. And your name was written on his heart. And you were in his mind. And he sent his son so that you had not yet even been born, could be regenerated and redeemed and washed in the blood and saved and make up the great number of his elect who one day will worship him and sing his praises and serve him in the glory to come. Your salvation is absolutely settled on that score. But nevertheless, there is this judgment that we have to face, a judgment that we have to endure, and it's the judgment of my life and my work as a Christian. Now, the scripture is very plain about that. So let me give you some Bible references. Let's get back to work again. Will you turn to Romans chapter 14? Now, will you have a look at verse 10 of Romans chapter 14? Now, listen to the Apostle Paul, and he's not writing to unbelievers. He's writing to Christians, and this is what he says. You then, why do you judge your brother? He's referring to the spirit of censoriousness that the Lord Jesus refers to in Matthew chapter 7. Why do you judge your brother? Why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. Do you know when that will happen? That will happen not when a great revival comes. That will happen at the judgment day. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Why do you judge your brother? Why are you as you are to your husband and your wife and your children and your parents? Why have you got that sharp tongue? Why do you say the things you do? Why are you so cruel and cynical and harsh and unloving? Why are you like that? Don't you remember, says Paul, that you've got to stand before the judgment as well? And that's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. Judge not, because you're going to be judged. You're going to be judged. And one of the great controlling factors in our lives must be the memory that we've got to stand before the judgment day. That is a controlling, a restraining, a governing factor in our lives. That governs me in my attitude to you. That governs me in the way I speak to you. That governs me in the way in which I deal with you. I dare not be crooked in my dealings with you. I dare not be harsh and unchristlike and rude in my dealings with you. Why? Because there is a judgment day when I must answer to God for the way in which I've spoken to you and the way I've conducted my Christian life. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is the Apostle Paul again, the great teacher. And this is what he says in verse 13. Let's have a look at verse 11. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day, what day is that? It's the great judgment day, will bring it to light. It'll be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Oh yes, my friend, the way you bring your children up, it's all going to be scrutinized on the day of judgment. The way you deal with your wife or your husband, it's all going to be scrutinized on the day of judgment. The way you deal with the work God has called you to do in the church, the way I've dealt with the ministry, it's all going to be scrutinized on the day of judgment. All that you've put into your children's lives, all that they do in their lives, and the way they treat me, it's all going to be scrutinized on the day of judgment, on that great day. Now, will you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, and this is what it says. For some of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Right? Wrong. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Now turn over to Colossians chapter 3. And this is what Paul says in verse 23. And he's just been talking about husbands and wives and children and masters and employers and employees. And he says in verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. When? Well, obviously on the judgment day. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong. And there is what? No favoritism. The last Bible verse, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. Now listen to the Apostle John. He says, and now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and what? Unashamed before him at his coming. Well now, it appears then that for the Christian, there will be no hell. But nevertheless, on that great day of judgment, there will be a loss of some sort if we haven't obeyed God. There will be a shame of some sort if we haven't obeyed God. There will be a reward of some sort if we have obeyed God. I don't know what that shame is, but the Apostle John tells us that we should so live that when he comes, we will not be ashamed. So it is possible to be ashamed when he comes and to lose something. I don't know what, but it's something that we will lose on that great day. Now let me end by saying this. I believe that all of us should ask God to help us to recapture the fear of his holy name. We have seen the rise of a familiarity which is frightening in this day and age. We have seen the rise of a new liberty amongst the people of God, which is very welcome, and it's good to see it. But with that has come a familiarity with God and with the Lord Jesus Christ
that has almost totally eradicated the fear of God as the great God of heaven and earth. You will not discover that loss of fear in any of the writers of the Bible. They lived and moved constantly remembering that there was a day when they would have to give an account. And we are told very plainly in the Bible that our God is a consuming fire. You can't play around with him. Now let me ask you, as we come to the Lord's table, have you been playing with God? Is pride in your heart, in your life? Have you been harsh and critical and unkind? As Christian people, are your homes a testimony to the love and the tenderness and the graciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been quick to point out the faults of others? Is that the way you've been? Let me remind you of the words of the Lord Jesus. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now surely a morning like this is a morning for repentance. And as we come to the Lord's table, we are to remember the graciousness and the kindness of our Lord Jesus, who is willing to forgive our sins, and to come to put ourselves in alignment with God's will. And as we take the bread and take the wine, we say, "Oh God, please forgive me. I haven't been doing what you wanted me to do. I do not want to be judged by you. I choose today by your grace to judge myself. And I determine with your help to put wrong things right and to live for your grace, for your glory in the week to come."